If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me in the book of Genesis. I'm planning on going through the entire Bible today, so you'll be encouraged. Genesis chapter 14, I am preaching on the very sensitive and relevant and needed title, tithing. Can you say that word?
Tithing.
Say it again.
Tithing.
It'll kind of sink in as we go along. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all. And the people said,
"Amen."
Welcome. You may be seated. I want you to be prepared for the message today. If you've never seen me do a message like this, I don't apologize to you. I just want you to know I think it's a good way to get the word across. But let me set this up for you. The scripture that I read to you this morning from Genesis chapter 14 is kind of the end of a long story. And I'm going to tell you that story in very quick terms, and I'm going to tell it to you in a way that I know it. And if I miss something, if I miss a detail, don't hold that against me. I just want to hit the high spot so you understand what's going on. In this day, in Genesis chapter 14, there are nine kings that are somewhat in power in the land. In this day that we're talking about today, the day that Abraham had gone out to battle, there was an alliance that had been joined together and formed over the years among these kings. And there were eight kings who really served one. And then somewhere along the way, as will happen sometimes in allegiance and alliance and things coming together, they decided that Calamar was not the guy they wanted ahead of them and leading them. So five of those kings turned against four that remained with Shalalmar, and they stayed with him. And so eventually a fight ensued. And in that fight, now I know your biblical history here, but in that fight, Lot's son, who had gone with Abraham, remember, and chosen to go the highway and left Abraham or whatever, well, during that battle, they took Lot's son captive and took him away with them. And what happened is Abraham heard about that, and because every good Hebrew knows you take care of your friends and you take care of your family for sure, and you absolutely take care of your brother's son. So Abraham decides he'll go out, and I love the way they give us a very specific number. Abraham decided to go out against that king and against those four that were there with him and get that boy and bring everything back with him that they had taken. No telling how many people were gathered together with four kingdoms. There were a lot of folks gathered together that had gathered with this king. I love the fact that the Bible tells us in the story that I could have read to you, but I didn't have time. Abraham pursued the captors of Lot's son with 318 men. Now, they were special forces, no doubt. Abraham had trained them in his home. They had been born and raised in Abraham's harem, and he's there, and he's trained these men. He trusts them. He knows that their abilities. He knows they can, and he takes 318 men, well-trained, Brother David, and they go out to fight against these kings. When they get there, the battle ensues, and as you guessed it, Abraham defeated the king. And he defeated all those that were there, and all the kings who had went with him, he defeated them. And as he returns home, this mystical being in Scripture, Melchizedek, shows up. Everybody I've ever talked to, I like Dr. Van Savner, kind of said about Melchizedek like he said about the Trinity. Dr. Van Savner, you remember Brother Cliff, would say, "The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity." That's all he'd say about it. Melchizedek's kind of like that. There's all kinds of ideas about who he might have been. I mean, it's a Christ-like figure, maybe even Jesus himself. But here's what happens. Abraham comes back, and as he enters into the camp, enters into home, he gets back where he was. We got the very first mention of tithe in all the Bible. It started a little bit earlier, but I don't have time to go back there earlier in the book of Genesis, but here's the very first time we have mention of the tithe. It is a tenth part, and I've got to mention the tithe to kind of explain it to you. Abraham, the Bible says, gives of the tithe freely. Now, what that means for you and I is that we still have a mandate from Scripture that would mandate for us, and I use the word mandate because I believe it is, would mandate for us to realize that we owe God a tithe. I'm going to try to tell you about that as we go through, but I want to go off stage here just a second and get some props. I can still talk to you while I'm doing this, and I want to show you something. And I think I'm better if I see something, I'm better. So I want to let you see this, all right? You okay with this? You are right now. You might not be in a minute. But I'm going to tell you that this that I'm about to set up is God's house, all right? Travis, you didn't jury this up where I can't set it up, did you? Travis went and got these for me. He probably did that. That's God's house, okay? Here's Reagan's house. It's the same shape. There's Reagan's house. If I read Scripture correctly, the Bible tells me that everything that I get that comes my way belongs to God. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. It belongs to God. And so anything that comes my way, I'm supposed to give God a tenth part of that. So let's start out with Abraham. Abraham comes back into the camp, and he meets Melchizedek. And when he meets Melchizedek, he gives a tenth part of what he has to Melchizedek. Well, let's imagine what Abraham had with these potatoes I got in my hand. So Abraham gets the loot and the spoils from battle. That's three. That's four. Five. Six. You say, man, we're going to be here all day. You just don't know. Seven. Eight. Nine. For Abraham. And God gets a tenth. God, there's your tenth part. Abraham's doing pretty good. His house is full, and he's obeyed what God said to do. He's given that tenth part, and he gives that tenth part freely. I want you to notice that word, freely. He doesn't give it to evoke God's blessings. He does it because God has blessed him. He doesn't do it so that he'll get. He does it because he's already received and he's giving back to God that which is a tithe. So you and I must have that motive as our tithing. We've got to give back realizing that we have already received. Have you received from God?
Amen.
Oh, that's pitiful. Have you received from God?
Amen.
I've been saved. Enough said. If I don't ever get anything else from God, if God doesn't bless my life in any other way, oh, I want him to. But if he doesn't, I'm satisfied that he has blessed me with salvation. So because he has blessed me with salvation, now I ought to give back to God freely everything that God has given to me. We don't tithe to give. We tithe because we have been given to. Now, there is a promise in Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, listen to this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So anything that comes our way, we are to give back a portion to God. So let's see what we got right here. I should have had a flat table, huh? I was going to take these out of these bags before I went to the garden this morning. Y'all okay? You know what these are? Tomatoes. Big tomatoes. God, I'll be with you in a minute. I got to put these in my barn here. Y'all okay?
Amen.
God, I'm coming. Hang on. There's half of my bounty. He said, man, we'd be here 2:00. No, hang on. Okay. Here's my tenth part. I'm not done over here, but God, there's your tenth part. These are great tomatoes. They'll be set for sale after church is over for a tithe or $2. So, God be blessed. I've been blessed. And I've given my tenth part to God. I'll do that freely. I don't have any question about it. I'm just giving it. But the Bible does say that if I give to him, that he'll give back to me. But I don't give it to him expecting him to do that. I give it to him realizing that God has made a promise that as I give to him, he too will give to me. So this is going to be easier. Here's my bounty. 9 for me. My storehouse is getting a little full. I got a big one for God. Done my part. God said a tenth part. I've given him a tenth part. Bible says I can do that expecting that it'll please God when I do. Amos chapter 5 says this. When you read Amos chapter 5, you see that tithing ought to be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I started with that. I give to God because God has blessed me, and I want him to know that I appreciate the fact that he has blessed me. We're really going to get in trouble here. Okay, I'm gonna fix God up first. Before I do anything else with the bounty that is mine, I'm going to fix God up. So I got God taken care of. And I'm going to take my stuff to my barn now. Y'all okay? We may run into some trouble here. That's my house. I've done what God said do. Wow. I'm doing great, God. I hope you're doing as well as I am. You've never heard me this quiet in the pulpit, have you? Yeah, we're going to have trouble. I can tell already. So I got God's tenth part. And I get to keep 9. And God gets 1. And look what's happening over on my table. And look what's happening in God's table. I got so much I can't get them out of the sacks here. I don't want those tomatoes to get bruised up. Because I'm going to sell them. You know what happens? What happens in our life is we get so much that sometimes we got to build a new barn because God blesses us so much that we need another barn. So I'm going to go ahead and build me another barn because I can see right now I'm going to have trouble. God's okay, but I'm going to build me another barn because I think that I'm fixing to run into trouble here because I can't even spread out my last bounty. I wish I had the combination of these things. So, there's my tenth part over there. Here's what I get to keep. That's not a bad deal. So, it really don't work that way. I'm going to just stay with me. There. So, Amos says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, proclaim and announce the freewill offering. For this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord. So Amos said the children of Israel loved to give. You and I ought to love to give freely. This past month we had an enormous month in our offerings. We had some dips back in the summertime, but God got us through everything. I've got all kinds of testimony I can share with you about that, but I can't do it right now. So let's be clear. We tithe. Not because the preacher preaches a sermon with fruit or vegetables. We tithe not because we think it's a good idea. We tithe because God says if we do that, we're obeying him and doing what he says for us to do. We do that not to be blessed by God, but realize that God will bless us. We do that not expecting a return, but we know that God will do that. Listen, tithing is not a seed offering. Now, there's a lot of TV preachers tell you got to sow a seed offering. Well, let me tell you what happens with that seed offering. That seed offering goes in their pocket. What you give to this church doesn't come to mind. I had a relative of mine tell me one time right after I surrendered to ministry. I've told this story several times this morning right after I was saved and said, I know God is calling me to preach. This friend of mine, a family member, said to me, you know, I can get you a good 60-40 church. It wasn't a Baptist church. It was another kind of church. I said, exactly what is a 60-40 church? I didn't even want to hear that then. I think I like the idea now. Because back then he told me, I'll get you a church where you, the preacher, can keep 60% of everything that comes in and just leave the church with 40. We brought in a little over $1.5 million last year. I'm in. But that's not how it works. You give to the church that the church can continue its ministry. You give to Northside Baptist Church and we can reach out to our community. Yes, I can make a living and people on staff can make a living. And I praise God for what you do and the provisions you make for us to do our job. I thank God for that. You're doing things to enhance my life. But listen, what you're really doing is enhancing the ministry of this church. And anywhere you go, I'm being boastful, I'm being proud, and that's me. Anywhere you go in Huntsville, Walker County, Trinity, anywhere you go, mention Northside Baptist Church and they'll have something good to say about it. Don't mention a preacher. They may have something bad to say about me. But I'll assure you that when we reach out and do what God says for us to do, we will be blessed. We will get a return. That's not why we do it, but it'll happen. But it is not a seed offering. I'm not giving this expecting that, man, now God, that I've given you, it's just going to grow like that over here. Tenth part. It's a tenth part. It's because you want to give and thank God. So I got more. Some of this is going to go home with me because that's my barn. Y'all okay? Last year at Northside Baptist Church, we took in a little over $1.5 million. God, here's your tenth part. I was afraid Kathy was coming to take some of this away from me. I didn't know. It's going to get better. Y'all okay? You sure quiet? The way you up there messing with fruit, preacher. So here's my part. God's got his tenth. I got my ninth. It's funny how fractions aren't easy, but they're easy when we do this, isn't it? So I got five. God's got one. He may have blessed me one more than I need here. You follow? See what's happening? I got my second barn laden with vegetables and fruit. Got one more here. So I do all this not expecting that God is going to increase me. But look what's happened. There's my ninth. There's God's tenth. There's the nine that I keep, and there's the ten that God gets. And frankly, the creator of the universe table is not filling up very well there. But we're all doing it, right? If we all do it, then, Jesus clears the air up on tithing. Some people believe that if you tithe, it's all done. Let me let you in on something. The only way you'll get to heaven, the only way you'll get to heaven is knowing Jesus Christ. I don't care if you never give a nickel. I don't care if you, the only way is to know. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And Jesus Christ is the only way you can get there. You can't give and expect that because you give, God's going to take you home to be with him. I talked to a guy the other day. Hold on just a second. Somebody's sure not here. He ain't. I talked to a guy the other day, and he hadn't been to church in a while. If you hadn't been to church in a while and you run into me and you ain't got a good reason, it's going to be a short conversation, really. But I ran into this guy that hadn't been to church in a while, got kids, got a wife, hadn't been to church. Most of the time when Baptists don't come to church, the preacher's preaching on tithing or the weather's bad or they're mad about something. You ever known a Baptist get mad about something? So I ran into this guy and I said, man, I've missed your church. Where in the world? Have you gone to another church? Are you doing something else now instead of coming to the north side? I mean, there's a lot of good churches. It's not a great churches, but there's a good church you can go to. But he said to me, here's what he said. He looked at me, and I know that now, he may not be back to church now, so I'm not going to tell you who he is. He looked at me and he said, well, preacher, my money's still coming. I don't care about your money. I care about your soul. Money happens because we love Jesus. This thing happens here because you love the Lord. This thing happens because we realize that God has blessed us, and so we accept that which God has given us, and we always give to God that tenth part. And so we receive things that way, and this guy thinks, I think, that as long as he gives, he's okay. Friends, that's not it. You got to know that you know Jesus. And once you know that you know Jesus, ooh, I messed up. I forgot. When you realize you hadn't done it, do it. When it happens and you go, man, I can't remember. My wife and I have a system at my house. If I get anything extra, preach a funeral, do a wedding, anything extra that comes my way, gift cards, come on, bring them. Whatever extra I get, I write them on a calendar in our house. And when she sets down every month, the first check we write is our tithe check. Somebody said to me, ain't it good being a preacher? You ain't got a tithe to pay income tax. Not only do I pay income tax, I pay self-employment tax. So, well, you're employed by the church, yeah, but the IRS don't see it that way. So I pay self-employment tax. You're gracious to help me with that, but I pay self-employment tax. And when you help me, I pay self-employment tax on the help you give me. And yes, I do tithe. You see, nowhere in the Bible does it say because I'm a preacher, I don't have to. It doesn't say that at all. In fact, if there's anything that's important to me, me and my staff alike, I say my staff, our staff here in the church, if there's anything that's important to me is that all of us are doing what we ask you to do. And if I'm not doing it, I don't expect you ought to do it either. It's not a seed offering. I'm giving it because I know that God has given to me. It's a tenth part. It's a tithe. It's part of what God has given me because I want to thank God for giving to me, so I obey what he has to say. Sometimes, let me dig around here a second. Sometimes in our life, they don't all work out exactly like we hope it will. You ever had anything like that in your life? Sometimes things just don't work out like you think it should work out. And because of that, you get something that really, truth be known, you really just soon not have. You ever get that? I'm getting there. Hang on. I know they said in seminary, don't turn your backside to people. That's a lemon. And it's a big lemon. You ever felt like you've been doled out some lemons in your life? I love what David Ring said. David Ring said when you had, he's a guy with cerebral palsy, he said, When God gives you lemons, you make lemonade with it, right? So even if God gives you lemons, you still owe him a tithe. Well, it's good, it's not good, and no, I'm not going to give God. Listen, if God is God, and he is, God is God, and if he is, then that means he is the God of all things, and he's even the God of lemons. And when things come down that we don't necessarily like, don't work out exactly like we think it ought to work out, and we get lemons in our life, then it's very important, I think, that we pay the tithe with those lemons. Because, I mean, just because it's lemons doesn't mean that it's not tithable. We ought to tithe over it anyway. My barn is in a mess. Honey, would you clean the barn up, please? Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus speaks about an issue. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You ever been called a hypocrite? If you want to puff a Baptist up, call them a hypocrite. If you want to make them mad and they'll vote against you at the business meeting, call them a hypocrite. Jesus looked right in the face of these people and woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay a tithe of mint and anise and cumin and then neglected the weightier matters of the law. What Jesus was saying there, it's not all about the tithe and what you give. It's all about you following and being obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Following the law has been satisfied through Christ himself. So therefore, if I'm going to tithe, this one thing, but if I'm going to follow God, it's another thing. And I follow God, and as I do, I tithe because God has blessed my life. Tithing does not excuse me from Christian living. You understand? I don't run down here and write a check and say, man, I can do what I can live like hell if I want to. Preach you on, I say it from the pulpit. Well, I'm not real refined. You can't do that. You see, the tithing won't get you there, right? What do we say? Jesus is all that'll do it for you. So no matter how much you give, it's not going to put you in the right perspective with God unless you know that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. These will not be for sale. I'm just letting you know beforehand. So I'm going to go ahead and give God his avocado. I don't want to get ahead. I want to be sure that I'm getting God what God needs and deserves and desires. These things will be ready by the time church is over. Anybody got any chips in their pocket? Another backpack? Y'all okay? Sure quiet. God's got his. It's been a pretty good payday for me. And I've done everything God said I ought to do. God, I tell you what, since I got a little extra left here, God, I'm going to go ahead. I think I got something extra. God, let me see. Well, I thought I did. Yeah, I do, Lord. I'm going to give you a love offering. You know, I'm going to help build the cross. I'm going to do something special for you, God. There, now then, I feel better about me. I've done something that God wanted me to do, and I've even gone a step further and done a little more than God wanted me to do. And then God just keeps blessing me. Even though I act all silly about something I've given and act like I'm the only person on the planet that ever did it, God continues to bless me. So God, I'm going to go ahead. These are not for sale. I'm going to go ahead and give you that squash. And somehow or another, God, I'm going to receive all this fruit, all these veggies into my barn. And I thank you for that, Lord, that you are giving me the way you have given to me. And I can't build another barn. I've spent all my money. So I just have to do with what I got. We're getting in real trouble here. God's got his. Heaven ought to be satisfied. I got mine. And I'm doing it because God loves me. I'm doing it because God cares for me. It does not excuse me from living a Christian life and telling other people about Jesus. I don't go and tell people how much I have because I have given. I go and tell people how much I have because I have been given too. You follow that? I go and tell folks about Jesus, and as I do, then I'm doing my part. Then I come back and I give to God that which I know that I ought to give to God. Tithing is not a substitute at any time. It's not an excuse for you not living a Christian life. You can't buy your way into heaven. You ever heard that? So why are you talking to us about this? Well, I'm talking to you about this because if you know that you know Jesus, then you have been saved and you know that you know him. Because you know that you know him, you know what he's done, so you want to give to him. Some folks think that if I bring my tithe into the storehouse, then somehow I'm going to be okay. Well, let me tell you something. Bringing your tithe into the storehouse matters. There. I've done my part for God. We got a problem. In the Cooksey barn. So I give to God. God blesses me, and as he blesses me, I have maybe even a more obligation to give to God, because now I realize just how much he blessed me and how much, that one is, you can have that one. Uh, Y'all okay? I'm just asking. Anybody wants to leave, you tithe triple. God's got his. There's one in the hole, Bob. Don't forget it. Tithing is never a substitute for my worship. It's part of my worship. I tithe in order to worship God through tithes and offerings, because the tithe and offering that I give is my worship, part of my worship, because God has blessed me. So you said that, but I'm going to say it some more. What tithing is, actually, is it becomes an extension of your faith. In other words, when you give, tithing is proof that you believe, and I think most of you believe this way. If you don't, I'm going to invite you to come along with me here. Tithing is proof of your belief that all things come from God and that nothing really belongs to us. We are to be, that good word they use in Sunday school is we are to be good stewards. I tell you, I got to be out pretty soon because my barn is not going to hold much more. Well, I'm in trouble already in my barn. And extra. God's got one more than he wanted. Well, one more than he asked me for. One more than he said I should give. And so he continues to bless my life. Two and all. Don't forget those, Bob. They'll be smelling. Isn't that amazing? That's how God works. And it's amazing that he works that way, especially when I look at my life and think of all the disobedient times and the times when I really don't deserve the blessing of God at all. You ever been there? Yet, for some unknown crazy reason, God continues to bless me. And even though I build barns, and they're big barns, to hold all my blessings. It's okay over there, right? I've given one more than I should have. So, I mean, it's got to be good, right? Got to be good in heaven because off the stage. Tithing is an extension of my faith. Tithing is a demonstration of the character of God within me. Follow that now. When I tithe, when I give, when I do simply what God has asked me to do, it's a demonstration of the fact that God abides in me. Because what I'm doing is mimicking his character. Because, as you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He doesn't say God gave his only begotten Son and whosoever gives will be saved. He doesn't say he gives his only Son and you got to come to church every Sunday and you'll be saved. That's not what it is. He doesn't say that you do this and do that. What it does say is that you believe upon Jesus Christ. And you give because you realize what God has given you. And the further you go in your walk with Jesus, the more valuable that gift becomes. I have a diamond ring that I don't wear. My wife gave it to me. Oh, Lord, we've been married 50 years. It's a long time ago. That thing is valuable today. It's worth about $400. But, it was probably $25 when she bought it for me. But it's amazing how things increased in value. But let me tell you, when you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and more than that, you know that he knows you, and you know he's given to you, and that he loves you, and that he cares for you, you want to give even more. And here's what I think about tithing. Here's one more thing, and maybe another. Tithing is a gift of rejoicing because God is the light of the world. Now, let's think about that just a second. Preach, where are you going with this? Hang on. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that all good and perfect gifts, the only place in the Bible says this, all good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights above. Yes, amen. Well, now why don't you just say God, James? Why do you have to say Father of lights? So listen, Everything that we have comes from God. James has labeled him now the Father of lights. And let me tell you something. God has been the Father of lights in the past, in the present, and will be in the future. And let's think about that for just a minute. This is a whole other subject, but let's think about it just a second. There's a thing about tithing and we give. Listen, because God is the great light. Genesis chapter 1 tells us, I love those words. It says in the Bible, Brother Kyle, that over the darkness, there was just, over the deep, there was darkness that hovered. There was no form. There was no shape. It was just dark. You ever been in dark? I was going to get them to turn the lights out right now, and I was scared the electricity wouldn't come back on. Darkness was there. And Genesis says that God put a great light in the sky, the sun, and a great light in the sky to companion that, the moon, and all of a sudden there was light. And the light wasn't because of the sun. The light was because God created the sun, and now God is the light that beams down on us from heaven on high. He is the light of the world. John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this, all things were made through him, John said, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you ever know anybody who's just really, really scared of the dark? Evelyn Lynch, she's in heaven now. We were over in the furthest sanctuary, in the little place over there that's now the kids' cabin. And boy, let me tell you something, you can make that dude dark. In here, we can't make it as dark as we can over there. We can control the light in here, but we got exit signs. And Greg Mathis and folks in the fire department, Tim, they all get upset when you cover the exit lights. But over there, we could really make it dark. And, you know, you wanted that for effect, right? Next year, we're going to have LED candles. I will not burn wax again in this building. But we would get on and get things really, really dark, and you want that for the effect, right? About halfway through, I'd see a flashlight. It was Evelyn. Scared to death of the dark. That's valid. I don't like dark either. I like light. Now, I do run around in my house, turn the light switches off because we use too much electricity sometimes. But I like light. And the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the light. He said himself, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but in the light. So stay with me here. Many people don't like the darkness. They're scared of the dark. And since human beings can't see in the dark, we stumble and fall in the dark. We take the wrong roads in the dark. One time, right here at this church, and again, that little building over there, And we still have a little problem with this, but over that little building, it was really dark, turned off the highway onto that driveway. And Wednesday night church was almost over, and somebody come running in and said, there's been a wreck. So everybody went out there, and Andy, I was the best thing they had on hand for an EMS back then. That's not much. So I run out there to this car, and it's sitting down. It's pretty deep over. Sitting down in the ditch, tail end sticking out, back wheel spinning. And I said, what happened? She said, it was just too dark for me to see. In the darkness, we cannot see. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Receive Christ in your heart. You got the light of the world in your heart. You don't have to walk in darkness anymore. Now you can walk in eternal light because of Jesus Christ. And because now you can walk in the light, you ought to be willing to give to Jesus. So we tithe because Jesus is the light that dispels the darkness in our world. Then let me close with this. I promise I'm finished. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. God, I've done that. I brought all the tithe and a little extra into the place for God. The Holy Spirit may be talking to me there. So I've done my part, and God has done his part, apparently. And so knowing that he's done that, listen to what this says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. No, wait a minute. Is God saying, try me on this tithing thing? He is. When we were kids at Oakhurst, we would say, I double dog dare you. You ever done that? It was bigger than Oakhurst. I mean, it said it everywhere. I double dog dare you to do that. Now, some of the things I was double dog dared to do, I shouldn't have done. At the old schoolhouse there in Oakhurst, it had been closed down for a number of years, there was an old fire escape slide. Kenneth, my mother, had said, do not under any circumstances go up there to that school. And if you do, do not slide down that slide. You might as well have said, go today at 10 and do it. So we went up there and we slid down the slide several times. And the bad thing about that old slide, it was no longer a slide. It was kind of a drag. You just kind of went down it and dragging because it was all rusty. And I had on a pair of blue jeans that was halfway decent. I imagine I'd come from church that morning. We had church clothes and other clothes. And so I got home and Mama said, did you go to that school and slide down that slide? I said, no, ma'am. She beat the rust off my back end. Because I had done something that I was not supposed to do. I'd been double dog dared. I couldn't help it. Look what the scripture says. Try me now in this, says Reagan. Try me now in this, says the Southern Baptist Convention. No. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. So here's the challenge, and I'm done. Last year, 40 family groups gave $766,000 to this church. I don't know them. I just know they have a number. Not only that, we had 65 or 70 below that that gave anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 to the church. And then we had a plethora of folks in the bottom, not the bottom because they gave what they could, that gave the remainder of the budget that we had. We had a great budget this year. We had a great month last month. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. But here's my final statement. If you don't, I want to challenge you. Try God. Try God. In fact, this is not very scriptural, and you won't find it in scripture. I double dog dare you. Give it a try. Father, I love you and thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that I've had to come before this church, God, and to present a message a bit different, God, than we're used to. But Father, thank you that you have taught me this lesson in my life of how vital it is that I tend to the things, God, that you have given me. And truly, God, all that I have has come from you. All that this great church has is comes from you, God. The fact that we are who we are is because of you, God, and not because of me. And I praise you, God, for loving us so much that you've given Jesus to die for us. And God, I thank you that you teach me this lesson of how important it is that I give and that I give back to you. And God, undoubtedly, you've blessed the lives of people in this very building. And I pray, God, that you move in their hearts today. Now, God, I know that in this building there are other decisions that need to be made. Some, Lord, that need to come and be saved, to come to know Jesus Christ. Some, Lord, to make professions of their faith. Lord, whatever you want to do in this church today, I pray, God, that you feel free to move about us and do just that. Bless this invitation. Bring your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? As we stand together, I'm here. Brother Travis is here. I invite you to come. Even if it's not doing with tithing, you come if God's speaking to you.